Hey everyone, I'm Crystal Escobar and you're listening to the Wannabe Balanced podcast. This is episode number 159, Healing Mind, Body, and Soul Post-Explant Surgery. It's the month of May and each month I've been choosing a topic to do a little class on, and this episode is the class on healing. And just as a reminder, I've created a complimentary workbook to go along with every single one of these monthly topics. So be sure that you're on my Wannabe Balanced newsletter so that you can be getting these mindset workbooks to go along with each topic for the month. Now I'll go ahead and play the recording of the live mindset class that I did over on Facebook and Zoom just a few days ago. Hey everybody, welcome to the monthly mindset call that I've been doing for quite a while now, but this year, 2023, I've made an attempt to create a workbook to go along with every topic for each month. And this month is all about healing because I have been on this pursuit of better health for quite a while now, and more recently, I chose to get my breast implants removed and had the surgery, been recovering from surgery. Therefore, I've been doing all kinds of things to work on further healing my body. So last month, we covered the ways and benefits of being organized to motivate you to tackle your spring cleaning. And this month, I'd like to direct our focus to further healing our bodies. Also, before we get started, I wanted to let you guys know what the topic for next month is going to be. And I'm really excited about next month's topic. It is going to be about writing. Many of us can benefit from writing more and even becoming a writer to some degree. And I'm going to go more into that next month and explain why I believe writing is so important and how we all have a beautiful and unique story that needs to be shared. And I think that writing and improving your writing skills can benefit you in so many areas of your life, not just in the form of sharing your story, sharing your life, but also to improve your mental health. You know, I know a lot of us have this burning desire to write a book, to share our story. And so that's one component of this whole writing concept that I want to talk about and how to become a writer in a sense. But it's really about sharing your story and also working through those unhealed parts, past trauma that we have yet to address. And also, how many of you feel misunderstood in different ways? And I think that writing and learning how to become a better writer can help you become a better communicator, which will help you and so many other people in just understanding you. Being able to get better at that self-expression can benefit you in so many different ways. So I can't wait to dive into that topic. I think it's going to be something that can benefit everyone. And I'm going to talk about all the different ways. So tonight, let's get back to tonight's topic. If you did not receive an email with the workbook for the top that goes along with this month's topic, then please comment below in and let me know, and I'll make sure that you get the workbook for this month. So I know that we are all about healing our bodies by eliminating harmful foods from our diet, right? But tonight, I want to make sure that we cover both the physical and the mental aspects of healing our bodies. And let's ensure that we have a good balance between the two. Many of you have been able to see tremendous improvements in your health and symptoms since doing the ER Shred protocol. And there are some of us who are still in the process of healing, like me. And I'm sure you can all think of a symptom or two that may still be lingering. Quick background on my ER Shred story, in case any of you are new here. In 2019, I noticed a drastic decline in my health, and I've had skin issues for years, but in 2019, it got progressively worse. So I decided to go vegan, thinking that was the answer. Following medical medium protocol, celery juice every day, my skin became so inflamed that I didn't even want to leave the house. I was at my all-time low. My hair was just breaking off. I was literally covered in welts all over my face, my chin, my neck, my chest, and my back. And at the same time, Sean was also experiencing his own health crisis, as he too was eating mostly vegan, since those were basically the only meals that I was making. And we also watched that documentary, Game Changers, which had us totally convinced that the plant-based diet was the way to go. So he was mostly on board about adapting this whole new lifestyle of plant-based diet. So in desperation, after it'd been months had passed and neither one of us were feeling any better, in fact, we were feeling worse, he called one of his vegan friends out of desperation, hoping for some kind of advice, like, tell us how to do this better. Like, what are we missing here? But turns out his vegan friend was no longer vegan. He had discovered so many of his own health issues, and he actually ended up in the hospital with leaky gut and other health issues because of his, I think he was on about 6 years as a vegan, and it was just something that ended up making him feel worse. So his friend, what we found out, his friend had jumped on the carnivore train and was able to regain his health by basically going the opposite direction, eliminating vegetables and going more meat-based. But the carnivore diet is strictly meat, if any of you are unfamiliar with that. So at that point, Sean and I, we were at our rock bottom and we were just open to trying anything. So we went all in on the whole carnivore thing, but after just a couple weeks into it, we were just very mindful of, like, okay, now how is this going to be sustainable? Is this healthy? Like, can you really not eat any fiber? And all of the things that we had a lot of questions about the whole, we were feeling very skeptical about, eating only meat. We were mindful of the deficiencies with the carnivore diet. So that's when we added the other components of ER Shred to offset any nutritional deficiencies from using meat as the sole foundation. We essentially bridged the ancient way of eating with modern day advances. And we both came alive and experienced tremendous improvements. Back in 2020, we shared a lot about it online, and it was just an exciting time for us to truly start to notice improvements in our own health and to start seeing results. And for me, I began to notice my skin was finally beginning to clear up. But about a year in and attempting to introduce a little more variety to my diet, I noticed my skin flaring up again here and there. So I went back to eliminating things, but nothing seemed consistent. It was very confusing. I couldn't pinpoint what specifically I was eating that caused the flare-ups. So that's when I started considering other culprits like environmental toxins and suppressed emotions. You all know I posted about this back in November, back in the fall, this in 2022, I had the most horrific outbreak. It was a rash that started on the back of my legs and eventually covered my entire body. It was so painful and itchy, and I basically spent 2 weeks in bed. It completely wiped me out physically and emotionally. I even went to two different doctors, and nobody could tell me what the cause was. I was just so defeated, and at that point, I finally knew I needed to allow myself to start considering other potential culprits and culprits that I did not want to look at. It was like I was getting little nudges from all different angles, but I just was trying really hard not to see it. I just did not want to eliminate this one thing. Two things, I guess you can say, my breast implants. So now looking back, I can see that my rash was a combination of emotional and physical contributors. It was literally the perfect storm. And I really believe that we cannot heal our minds without healing our bodies, and we cannot heal our bodies without healing our minds. It goes hand in hand. There's no way of getting around it. we live in this physical world, which means that at least half the time, we have to be open to understanding our physiology, the laws of nature, and how we evolved over the last 10,000 years or so. And, you know, as much as I believe in the power of the mind, and we can't necessarily say that if you just believe something is not toxic, then that's all you need, right? I believe in the law of attraction, but there is a fine line that I hope we aren't overlooking. I don't want us to allow the law of attraction concept to cloud our critical thinking and logic. Ignorance is bliss, right? Until it's not. Until something bad happens, until you get injured in a car accident because you decided not to believe the statistics about car accidents, therefore you didn't see a need to wear a seatbelt. I believed 100% that the vegan diet was the best way to achieve optimal health, but it done did me wrong. So let's take a look at our symptoms, our physical and our mental. Do you have any pain in your body or extra weight you're still trying to lose? Do you have any skin conditions, thinning hair? Are you dealing with any anxiety or depression? Whatever the symptom is, there's always a root cause. And that's what I hope tonight's class can help you identify. With my rash, I explored all potential causes through deep introspection and researching breast implant illness. I was able to narrow it down. When I began reading about breast implant illness and discovered countless stories of other women experiencing the same symptoms as me, I was convinced that my next step towards better health should be to remove my implants. And I also made sure to look at my mental state and emotional health during the time of the rash. I even went back and I read some of my old journal entries. I became an investigator. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I need to really get to the root of all of this. So I spent a lot of time in introspection and researching looking through my old journal entries leading up to the rash outbreak, and I noticed a theme in my writings. See, this is why next month we're going to go into writing and the importance of writing, because this is yet another reason why I think that we all should become writers, and I'm going to teach you how. For this very reason, because when I went back and I was able to look through my journal entries, I was able to unveil a lot of things that I didn't necessarily notice at the time when I was just writing them. But then when I read multiple days in a row and I started to notice a theme in my writings, and that was resentment. I was carrying a lot of resentment in my body. And, you know, at the time I thought I was processing it by writing it out, because I feel like writing has been such a great way to do, like, coach myself and have, like, therapy. It's like my own little mini therapy session with myself. And so writing has been very therapeutic and healing for me. And so as I was writing all these different entries, I really did think that I was doing the work. I was processing it and I was, you know, writing it all out. But writing alone is not always enough. Sometimes you need to say something rather than hold it in. Sometimes it's necessary to voice how you're feeling, what you're upset about, and even set some boundaries or just make some changes. So those were some of the things that I realized that I was not fully integrating into my life. And I thought I was doing it correctly, but the rash really did teach me a lot of things. And now looking back, I've really been able to understand a lot more about myself and my health and the different points of mental health that are so important for me to take the time to address. So, pain in the body and specific symptoms you're experiencing could be directly related to either past trauma, suppressed emotions, unresolved issues, or any resistance in the body. So what does it mean to have resistance in the body? A few months back, we had a mindset class about the two parts of us, our higher self, who always holds the broader perspective and the truth about you, and the inner critic, or some might even call the ego. So resistance in the body is when you're holding conflicting beliefs inside of you, conflicting beliefs between you and your ego. The internal conflict produces the stress chemical in the body, and if not addressed, can build up and lead to illness, which then manifests itself through various symptoms in the body. So it's important that we first identify what your symptoms are. And that's what this workbook is all about that I provided for you guys for this month. So you're going to take some time to first identify your symptoms, then ask what emotion is hiding underneath this symptom. Then you go deeper and you find out when you first felt this emotion, what happened to you, what experience did you have in the past that triggered this emotion? What belief did you adopt in your childhood that is the fuel to this emotion? So one of the things I have talked about in previous mindset classes is EFT tapping. It's emotional freedom technique that I'm very passionate about, because that's when I had this rash outbreak, is when I first discovered EFT tapping. And it has been something, a tool that I use daily ever since that outbreak, because of how much I've been able to process through this technique. And so if I'm not going to talk too much about EFT tonight, but if you go back to a couple of the other, I think it was 2 months ago when I talked about emotional freedom technique, and we did a little thing towards the end. So I like to use EFT tapping, and it is really a great tool for addressing childhood trauma and processing emotions. It's like, literally, it's like massaging out the knots in your body, and we tap into the emotion first and foremost, then we tap it out of the body. And that's a way of processing. It's very similar to other healing modalities. So it has been something that has been very useful for me. So let's talk about some of the physical things we can do to heal our bodies. Of course, getting enough sleep, diet and exercise, yoga, breathing techniques. And I created a list of all of these things also in the workbook. So I'm just going to go down the list really quickly. But if any of you want me to talk about some of these things a little bit more on this call, then leave a comment on Facebook and or here on Zoom if you want me to go into a little more depth about some of these things that I'm going to, this list that I'm going to read. Let me know and I'll be happy to explain a little bit more. Or you can just Google it later, watch some YouTube videos about it. That's kind of what I do to learn how to try out these different things to further my healing. So there is fasting, of course. We do that a lot in ER Shred. Grounding, sunshine, and cold therapy. I love cold therapy. Eliminating more of the environmental toxins. That's a journey that I've been on, trying to switch out a lot of my toxic toiletries, my deodorant. I'm now using a Diva cup instead of tampons, switching out little by little. Household cleaners, because there's a lot of things that need to be switched out. So I don't want to overwhelm anyone by suggesting these things. I just want you to know the list so that you can slowly start working on some of them. For me, this has definitely been a journey. I've been trying to use natural products for years, but for most of my life, I was platinum blonde. And so I would put a lot of chemicals on my hair all the time. And it was just like, in a lot of areas, I was real natural, but that was just one thing I was not ready to give up. So, and then same with the breast implants. It's been a journey, and I'm just taking it one step at a time, and I'm not expecting everything to be pure and clean, all of my products all at one time. I'm just choosing one thing at a time, and just also not having too much fear around it, because that also can create stress in the body, which can be worse than toxic products that we're putting on our body. The mental aspect of it, the fear that we have around these things, can actually be worse. So make sure you're not stirring up too much fear around these products that you're using on a daily basis, and just know that we can work on it little by little. Back to the list. The household cleaners, makeup, lotions. I'm now using tallow, and castor oil is another thing I'm trying right now for my lotions, even all over my face, all over my body. I'm trying it out, seeing how my skin does with it. So far, I'm liking castor oil as well as a moisturizer. Then different hair products. I've switched out all my shampoos and conditioners to products that don't have any parabens and all the other chemicals that we're hoping to avoid in our hair products, hair care products. Even toxic fabrics. I never even considered the fabrics that we're wearing. Like, this is a fabric that is most likely toxic because I know it's not cotton based on the way it feels. Nobody can really afford to just switch out your entire wardrobe to 100% cotton, silk, bamboo. Those are the fabrics that I recommend as far as natural goes. But I'm not going to like start switching out all of my clothes right now. I'm just going to do it little by little. So any new clothes that I plan to buy in the future, I'm a little bit more aware of the fabrics and I'm trying to choose more natural fabrics, like 100% cotton. Recently, we bought some new sheets, you know, so now we have 100% cotton sheets, just little things like that, that you can start making little changes, but little by little. That is my message tonight. Let's not overwhelm ourselves. And then, of course, plastic water bottles. That's something that I didn't even consider 5 years ago. We would drink out of plastic water bottles all the time, even though I knew that, you know, it's not good to drink out of plastic, but I just didn't really take it too serious. So more recently, since 2020, we've stopped using all plastic, even our dishware and Tupperware. We have switched everything out to glass. And now we're working on switching out our pots and our pans, you know, the list goes on, but it can actually be really fun. And that's what I hope that this can be all about. It can be a lot of fun to just choose one thing per month or per week to start switching out and just make sure that you're having fun with it and don't allow this to create more fear. Okay, so nail polish even. I am always wearing nail polish, which I'm still planning to occasionally wear nail polish, but I was wearing it every day for months at a time. I was doing the gel nails and now I'm trying to just do that less. Same with makeup. I'm wearing makeup today, but I'm trying to do it only like once a week, if that, and just trying to be real mindful of going without makeup, which is something that I've never done my entire life. I know there's some of you that just like have never been into makeup and just never have worn makeup. But for me, I have always worn makeup every day, my entire life, ever since I was a teenager. So this has been a harder thing for me to do, to go without makeup, but it's been very healing as well. I'm healing mentally and physically, my skin. All right. So then there's the EMFs, the BPAs and heavy metals. Also having air and water filters, just trying to slowly invest in some of those types of things. We have reverse osmosis already, but I don't know if you guys all saw it, but I posted about an ozone generator that we use and I've been using for quite a few years, but you know, it's like one of those things you use a lot and then you get out of the habit and you forget about it and then you find it and you're like, oh yeah, I should do this again. So that's what the ozone generator was for me. It's something that I stored away and wasn't using it for a few years and then found it. And I was like, oh yeah. So I'm back to using my ozone generator again to wash all my fruits and vegetables and even purify my water. Sometimes because, you know, even the reverse osmosis, I still hope to remove even more. So also another thing that you might find strange is we stopped wearing sunglasses. I always thought, you know, we need that protection over our eyes, which I do still think that we need to protect our eyes. But in the morning and afternoon sun, I think it's actually good for your eyes to have a little bit of sun, you know, natural sun, not direct sunlight in your eyes. But the more research I've been doing on it, I've learned that it's really beneficial for your circadian rhythm. It can help you sleep better, which sleep is like, I hope you all are making sleep a really, really high priority as far as your health goes, because it really spills over into all areas of your life if you're not making that a big priority. So your circadian rhythm is influenced by being exposed to sunlight and, you know, a little bit of sun, not direct sun, in your eyes every day. I've been trying to do a sunrise and sunset meditation or just outside time where I spend outside going on a walk, doing my meditation, or, you know, grounding. That's something that I highly recommend, is to try going without sunglasses a little bit more, and even no sunscreen, which also might sound a little scary. We have not been using sunscreen because of all the chemicals. We just, you know, shade up a little bit more. I allow myself to have no more than an hour exposure of sun, but I try to only do 30 minutes of sun exposure, where I allow myself to just have the sun on me 30 to 40 minutes every day, and just be in the shade or cover up more instead of use sunscreen, wear hats, wear shirts that cover, or just sit in shade when you're out at the lake or something. Those are the things that we've been doing, and no shoes, because I really believe in grounding and, you know, connecting with the earth. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Another thing that I've been doing is coffee enemas and castor oil packs. That's another thing that, you know, I'm not going to go into right now, but you can do a little research. It's a quick little Google search, and you'll learn a lot really quickly about the benefits of coffee enemas and castor oil packs. They both help assist your liver in detoxing. And right now I'm working on detoxing because of the chemicals that these breast implants have, the plastics and everything. I Googled everything that the breast implants are made up of. And this is just one of those things, like, ignorance is bliss. I just didn't want to know, just wanted what I wanted at the time. And I didn't want to know what kind of chemicals I was putting in my body. Thankfully, our bodies are pretty resilient and can handle a lot. Was fine all these years. I had them for 15 years. And I think over time, it just starts to wear on you. And I think my body was starting to get tired of fighting for me for all these years and protecting me from all of the plastics in my body. So thankfully it's having some relief, but now I'm working on detoxing any residual toxins that may be in my body from having the breast implants for 15 years. Let's keep going with the list. Is red light therapy, blue light glasses at night. I've been trying to wear that if I'm going to be on my phone, or even watching a little bit of Netflix with Sean at night. I like to do that. So I try to wear my blue light glasses to help with my sleep quality, the circadian rhythm. It's telling your body that it's time for sleep. So when you block the light from your eyes, that's when your body can produce the melatonin. And then when you expose your eyes to the light, and it's when it wakes you up. So getting more connected with the sunset and the sunrise and the earth by grounding. And then, of course, there's different supplements that you can look into. Eating only when it's light outside is another way to support your circadian rhythm for optimal sleep. Something that I've started doing is making sure that I'm not eating after dark. This is one that's really hard for me because I love candles. But if I'm going to burn a candle, I always try to make sure that there's a window or a door open, and I try not to burn them very often. But I love candles. I love the vibe. I love the smell. I love how my home, it feels so cozy in the winter and fall months. So that's a hard one for me, but I know that they are very toxic for our air. And then the fragrances in different detergents and perfumes that you might be wearing. And luckily, I have stopped wearing perfume for years, because when I was pregnant, I felt nauseous all the time with any kind of perfume, even some cologne. So Sean and I stopped wearing perfume and cologne like years ago when we were making babies. So I got out of that habit, been using essential oils instead for my perfumes. And then, of course, air fresheners. So I stopped using those plug-in-the-wall air fresheners that I was obsessed with for the first part of our marriage. And I just loved my house to smell really good and fresh. But it's another one of those things I didn't realize how toxic they were. So I stopped using those. And then, you know, I'm really trying to learn how to grow my own garden, but I'm trying to learn about gardening and grow my own food. I've done it a little bit here and there over the years, but I don't really know what I'm doing. But this year I'm like trying really hard to actually grow some things in my garden and, you know, raise our own food. I've posted that we just are learning how to be beekeepers. We luckily have a neighbor in our area who is really passionate about bees and has been doing it for years. So he's teaching us. So we are working on attracting a swarm right now, and hopefully we'll be able to have some fresh honey from these bees. But we also got chickens in 2020, and We are just trying really hard to get the most pure and natural source of food. So like I said, in the workbook I created, I have a list of all of these things. So I'm not going to go into all of them because it would take a long time, but you can easily, if there's anything in the list that I've mentioned just now that has caught your attention, then write it down or circle it in the workbook and do a little research on it and make that one of your goals for the month to see if that's something that you can work on. But again, make it fun, you guys. Make this fun. It's not supposed to be scary or fear-based. This is supposed to be exciting and fun. We don't want to allow ourselves to be paralyzed with overwhelm. Just one thing at a time, one day at a time, and one year at a time. Let me share my three favorite things right now, as well as some of the benefits. So I mentioned grounding, and I post a lot about grounding, and I'm sure you all know what it is, but it's basically walking barefoot, or it's also, you know, called earthing too. Walking barefoot on the ground really helps you electrically reconnect to the earth. This practice is a combination of earthing science and grounding physics, which explains how electrical charges from the earth can positively affect the body. You can even purchase like a grounding mat, which I have right here. So like anytime I'm working here and I'm touching this, I'm grounding because it's connected to a grounded outlet. I don't know if you can see that, but I'm grounding by having this, but there's also an attachment, like a bracelet attachment. So I have two of these. There's one up on my bed and I wear the bracelet thing at night. So I'm grounding all night while I sleep. It's pretty cool. So grounding offers many health benefits, including improved sleep, reduced inflammation, improved tissue and cell repair, enhanced blood flow, improved electrical activity in the brain. And in addition, walking barefoot on the ground releases endorphins. So you can either eat chocolate or ground for your endorphins, or hold a baby or snuggle a kitten. All right. And then the next one is sunshine. I already mentioned that. I have made it a huge goal to stop wearing sunglasses unless I'm out at the lake and it's like really bright, the reflection on the water. I don't want to harm my eyes. I want to make sure that I'm mindful of protecting them, but also know that being mindful of how we evolved. We didn't have sunglasses, you know, back when we were hunter-gatherers, and this is just things that, like shoes and sunglasses, are things that we have more recently in our evolution have adapted into our culture and lifestyle, which is disconnecting us more from the earth. So we're bombarded with the EMFs, the technology, and we're always inside and we're never in the sun and we're never connecting to the earth. So that's why I'm choosing these three things. Well, in the next one I'll tell you in a sec, but the sunshine and the grounding, I think, are my two most essentials right now, because I feel like we have really lost touch with our connection to the earth. And so I'm trying to go back to our roots, you know, just it's like what we're all about with the whole ancestral way of eating. I'm trying to be mindful of how can I reconnect to be more natural and reconnect to the earth and get that circadian rhythm and balance. And so allowing the sunshine to be on my skin for the vitamin D, we know that that's one of the most effective ways to get vitamin D. Getting sunshine is the best way to get the vitamin D, which is essential vitamin for our immune system function and bone health. Sunlight may reduce high blood pressure, can regulate the immune system, strengthens bones, and can improve sleep quality and boost your mood. I'm always feeling a lot happier after I'm outside in the sun and barefoot on the ground. All right, the last one I wanted to talk about is cold showers or ice baths, cold therapy. So I've been posting a lot about that as well. I've been doing regularly and I've noticed instant benefits from. And like last Sunday, I got in the lake and the water was probably about 65 degrees. It was really cold. And I have been doing my cold plunge every single day during the winter when our pool is not heated and our pool gets down to even like 45 degrees. And so I was doing it and gradually working my way up to, you know, being okay with discomfort. And that's really what it's all about. There's a lot of other benefits that you get from exposing your entire body and, you know, for the nervous system and other benefits that you get from the cold therapy. But one of the most practical benefits that I've noticed is just that I am more willing to do things that are uncomfortable. And isn't that something that we need a little bit more of in our lives? Because discomfort is where we truly grow. And there's a lot of things that we procrastinate on because we just, you know, there's a lot of things we just don't want to do. And what I've noticed that the cold therapy's done for me is I just do the things, you know, no more procrastinating, no more just like, oh, I really don't want to do it. So I put it off. It's really helped me just like do it and get it done. Because when I tell myself I'm going to do the cold plunge, the cold shower, I just do it. And I don't just try to talk myself into it. I just know I don't allow myself to think too much about it. And that has really been something that I've noticed has helped me, has benefited me the most by being a lot more brave with discomfort. And I'm having a lot more fun because I was like, I never would get in the lakes when we'd go boating and with the kids and the family, you know, I was always just like comfortable being a wimp and being like, no guys, I just don't get in the water. If it's too cold, I'm not doing it. And I would just kind of be a baby that way. And I'd miss out on a lot of fun. And the more I've been like getting in the water and like allowing myself to be cold and not being such a baby about it, I'm just like noticing how much more fun I'm having with the kids when, you know, I'm not just shying away from the cold. And I got in the water for a very long time and I swam all over the lake and it was just so invigorating. It was so fun to be in the water with my kids, which is something I never done, unfortunately. I just watched Sean and all the kids play in the water and I'm just always sitting and watching. So it was fun. I'm feeling more adventurous and brave and just like tough, like really tough now because I can endure cold water. All right. Now, before we end, I also want you to know that if anyone would like some coaching, I'm happy to coach any of you on some of the symptoms that you might be experiencing right now, or we can end the call a little early, or I can take some questions in the chat over on Facebook. I'm checking Facebook as well. You know, many of you that who are listening in are ahead of the game because you did something most people struggle to do, and that is to cut out sugar and processed foods. And I'm so grateful for this amazing, powerful, resilient, empowered community that we have with ER Shred. So many of you have just broken the cycle of the addiction when it comes to food and other things. Like so many of us are plagued with addiction. And I would dare say that every single person has some kind of an addiction. Food just happens to be one of the most universal. It is just as addicting as drugs. And we all know that any kind of real addiction is extremely hard to beat. So getting off the sugar and the processed foods is something that the majority of people are addicted to. And it is extremely hard to get off of it. I've been trying for years, pretty much since as long as I can remember, I've been trying to eat healthy and get off sugar, but I for some reason couldn't do it until 2020 was the year. And it's just a combination of things that made it possible for me to actually cut those things out. And now 3 years later, still be living this lifestyle. I'm just so dang proud of myself and wonder why did it take me all those years to finally be able to do it. But it just goes to show you that it's very hard. So if you're still struggling with food, don't feel bad. It is a very hard thing to beat. And it takes time. It takes a lot of mental work as well to get there. And that's why I think it's important that we make sure that we're healing the physical or the mental parts of us as well, because that could be the part that's hindering you if you're not able to heal from the past and from all of these beliefs that you are believing that are not serving you. If you're not able to work through those, that's going to be your greatest downfall. So being mindful of what's going up on up here is important, just as important as all of the physical things that you do. So again, take a look at the two lists in the workbook I created, and these will just help you assist you in further healing your mind and body. I say start with the things that seem easiest, things that you know you can do. Let's really just set yourself up for success and start small and simple, and then you work your way up. You'll find that by mastering the easy and doable ones first, it will make it a lot easier to tackle the big ones later, like food, if that's one you're still struggling with. So think of them as the primer before you paint. You don't want to skip the primer, otherwise the paint won't stick and it won't last as long. So I hope that this workbook that I created for you guys is something that you will find useful. And now we got 15 minutes left of the call. If anyone over here on Zoom would like to be coached on anything, then let me know. Okay, go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say that I struggle. I don't know how you do it. You just cut sugar out and you're done. I'm good for like 2 weeks. I'm rocking and rolling and I'm doing really good. I feel good inside my body and everything. And I did 2.5, almost 3 weeks of doing really good, really clean eating. I was dialed in. Easter, we go to Easter grandmas, and there's berry cobbler and all this other stuff there. I'll just have a little bit. And it's been, I love you. You're my sister, and I can tell you that I'm.
Oh, girl, that looks good.
I know, and I'm sitting here eating this, and I think I've got to stop because my pain kicked back in again too. There's only a little bit left, yeah. So I got to finish it, right?
You got to finish it. Okay, well, let me share.
Like, I do really good, and then I'm really bad. I fall off, like I fall off the wagon, but I hate to say that because you don't fall off.
Yeah,
I jumped. I jumped well, in head first.
I think also it's like being mindful of our personalities. Like, are you an all or nothing? Like, can you have just a little bit of something, or does that trigger, like, you know, like with an alcoholic, they know they can't even have one drink. And if they have one drink, that just sets them off.
It triggers it. But when I go 3 weeks, like, I crave it so bad.
Okay. So the second tip I would offer is having alternative options, like planning ahead beforehand. Because I do have a list of things that I'll allow myself to indulge in that I feel not as bad, you know. It's may give me a blood sugar spike because of all the sweet, you know, the sugar in the fruit, but I found a way to get my sweet tooth fixed through fruit instead of any of those treats. So I can, you know, I'll make like a frozen banana smoothie with the Isagenix protein, or I have made some cassava bread, which is, it's like a keto bread with cassava as the flour, and it's a lot of eggs, and I use a little bit of honey to sweeten it, or, you know, so I use honey, I use, you know, bananas, and I try to get really creative and create and make up desserts that are a little more guilt-free, but I wouldn't allow myself to have them all the time. But, you know, also another thing that I want you to remember is you're a woman and you have a cycle, and there's usually the week before your period where you're going to crave more carbs, and just being mindful of the woman's body being a lot different than the man's body. Sometimes we compare, like, you know, we see men being able to do things a lot differently, but I think women, it's important for women to be really mindful of the cycle that we go through. So we might be doing really good for like 2 weeks and we're like, oh, I'm on top of the world. And then we beat ourselves up because we go through these other two seasons of the cycle that's totally normal and should allow for some indulgences, but just try to plan beforehand and find the healthier options of indulgences.
The hard part is allowing yourself those indulgences without falling all the way in. That's where I struggle. I'm like, okay,
so like, what would be an indulgence, like a healthy indulgence? Like, would
I think what I need to start doing is some berries and dark chocolate and probably a non-dairy whipped cream.
Yeah,
I have some of that finally now.
Coconut cream. Do you like coconut cream? I love that.
I haven't gotten into that yet, but I, you know me, I'm so busy and late all the time, but they have an already made almond whipped cream.
Whipped cream. Now. Oh, that sounds good.
So I'm going to switch to that, I think. But
yeah. Just get creative and create some of those go-to desserts that are healthier versions of the things that you like. So if it's like the pie that you, if you know beforehand, like what kinds of pies or what was it that you had recently?
My sister-in-law made a berry cobbler. It was delicious.
Yeah, so a cobbler. So I have actually made a cobbler, a healthy. So I'll find the things that I like that, you know, that I miss. Like I love, you know, bread or, you know, like a sweet bread. So pumpkin bread. So that's how I figured out how to make that keto cassava pumpkin bread for the times where I'm going to allow myself to indulge a little bit in something sweet and more carbs. And so, yeah, it's just finding the thing that you really love and seeing how you can switch out all the ingredients to healthier options. And then so you can create your own healthier version of that dessert. So I made a cobbler using cassava flour and it was really good, and butter, but you can't use butter, but you can use coconut oil or something like that, you know? So yeah, I think just like knowing beforehand, being prepared, planning ahead of time and being mindful of your cycle, track your cycle and understand the different seasons that you go through and allow for the indulgences, but plan ahead and make sure that you have those healthy desserts on hand or pre-made in the freezer and just let yourself and don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up for it and just be like, this is my week that I get to indulge a little bit and I'm going to indulge in healthier options. Okay, well, you guys, thank you so much for joining me this month. And I'm looking forward to next month. I'll be posting soon within the next few weeks more about the details of what the day and the time will be for next month's mindset class. I hope you guys are doing well and I will see you online.
Thanks for listening to the Wannabe Balanced podcast. Get access to free resources available at wannabebalanced.com. If you love the show, then leave a review or share it with a friend. Until next week.